Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. The country is still reeling a little bit because if you missed the match, Canada, they really, really perform well. And Alphonso Davies had a penalty kick early into the game. They were all over Belgium. It wasn't a good effort. Like, his kick was...
No.
It was not a strong penalty kick by Davies. And Belgium gets a stop. Belgium scores late in the first half. And then Belgium effectively held on for dear life, but doesn't matter. You know, oh, you've been saying this. Like, if we've arrived... Canada on the men's side, then you can't be happy with a loss. Like, you can't be happy with a loss.
Just don't go with the mentality. Go with the mentality of lost opportunity because we might have been the better team, and we have to perform on Sunday. I'm just not a fan of we showed we belonged. I just don't know what kind of mentality that is. And I'm not some great five-time Stanley Cup champion, but I can't stand hearing that. I can't stand... We showed we belong. No kidding. Kara mentioned it. You showed you belong when you qualified for the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you're there. You already belong.
I don't think the team feels that, though. Like, I think the team, I feel like they're going to come out of this hungrier. They're going to look at how well they played Belgium and how they were so close to breaking through, and they're going to push through with that Sunday against Croatia. And we were talking about before, Croatia's a great team, but they're getting a little older. It's very tough to keep up with Canada's pace, and that is their strongest attribute. And if they can... push through with that, I think anything can happen on Sunday.
Yeah, that was on display today. I mean, I think also their two game breakers are Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies, and they had opportunities they couldn't close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Davies at the spot, like, that's got to go in. You got to score there. And he didn't manage to do that. He had a couple of other opportunities where he looked like himself, and when he's got pace and he's moving, obviously he's someone that's very difficult to defend. But I think he's got a little bit more, and I think David... we know is a world-class scorer, so he's got to close on a couple of those opportunities.
That's where I think David could have been a lot better.
Absolutely, but I think, you know, Richie Larea had a great game.
Amazing.
Buchanan, I thought, was really good. I thought their back line was strong. Estacchio, I thought, was really good.
So many opportunities near
in
the
like
end of that
15
match.
Minutes.
So many balls
Larea
through. Clearly the game plan was ball through to him and to try and head it in. And
yep.
It just
No one scored more on the men's side nationally than Kyle Aaron. And listen, they played well, but you're right, like the mentality. And I think Herdman said that. Hey, we've arrived. We're here. We got to go get Croatia. Like, it's that easy. You got to get a result. If you lose outright, you're done. You're playing Morocco. It's effectively a friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get a result. You got to at least get a point, if not go out there and beat them. And if you beat them, then everything starts to turn. Then it's in your hands. You beat Croatia on Sunday, and then you beat Morocco, you're through. So the tournament's not over. Like, Germany lost, Argentina lost. Tournament's not over.
Can you imagine what the post-match conversation from John Herdman is going to be like? Like, he's so... I don't know anyone who's more motivational than him. I absolutely love John Herdman. I think that he's an unbelievable speaker. And to see the way that he's going to pick this squad up, and I would love to be a fly in the wall.
I'll give you
room.
One guy. Get Pinball over there. Get Pinball Clemens over there.
Herdman
Pinball 7-0.
Above Pinball.
No
for motivation.
Way Herdman's yes. ahead of Pinball.
100. Have you? Okay.
No.
John Herdman, have you watched his TED Talk from years ago?
His
I just
TED Talk?
On a sec,
he did a TED Talk.
No, I have not.
I wanted to run through a freaking wall after listening to that.
I know. But let me ask you this. If the guy's name was John Herdman and he walked into the room to try to motivate you, and he had a pro barrel, and his T-shirt was halfway sticking out, and he had a greasy mustache, and he just had a skullet and a mullet, would you think it was motivating?
I mean, maybe it would take a little bit off the top for me, but I think so.
Dude, at the guy, I'm like, the guy's a good-looking dude.
Sure
dude.
He
like,
is, 100%.
I want to hear what that guy has to say.
Incredibly motivating.
But
I'm not disputing
he's
that.
He's such a good speaker, and just the way it's as though he's speaking to your soul.
Tell me you don't think
it would
be. But
if he had a handlebar mustache and a skullet, you wouldn't even pay attention.
No, I see where you're going with this.
The appearance factors into the motivation. I think for
a little bit. It's like 10%.
Yeah, and the accent helps too. He's British. And you're like,
accents always help, let's be honest.
Yeah, the accent, especially with soccer, you're like, all right, I kind of know where this guy's going. Like, listen, he's very motivational. He's a very impressive guy. We've had him on the show many times.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to root for. And I believe him that he believes in this team. And I think he should after watching them play. They played really, really well. Like they weren't lucky to only lose 1-0. Mm-hmm. They were unlucky not to win, I would say 2-0, 3-1, 4. Really dominated that game. Yes, absolutely. And the metrics would indicate that. The eye test would indicate that. They played great. But it doesn't mean anything now.
Yeah,
and they got jammed up on another handball, didn't they? I think they got jammed up on one.
Yeah, it was. I think Kilbane was expressing that. Like there was a couple of different plays that maybe could have led to more penalties for Canada, and it obviously did not materialize. But if Davies scores that goal, it's a totally different.
It's a different
feeling.
Game.
It's a totally different game. But
if Davies scores that goal and they still lose. How are we talking about that now?
I think it still feels a little bit different because they got a goal.
Because the moment happened, they got the first goal at the World Cup.
Right.
It came from Alphonso Davies. Yeah, I think that,
it's like they've accomplished something.
Yes.
You know, like they've arrived, they played well, but there's nothing tangible to say, you know, it's that different than it has been in the past. Where if you literally score a goal, it is very different.
This is the most Canadian post.
Yeah, this is what we bring to the table.
Like, they lost, but man, they were so good.
That all comes down to expectations. You know, in Belgium, again, I'm telling you, I'll guarantee you they're freaking out in Belgium. Freaking out because they really played poorly. And yet they won. And when you're the second-ranked team in the world, you have higher expectations. Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. MJ, we'll ask you the question right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Who do you find more inspiring? John Herdman, the head coach of the men's national team over in Qatar, or Pinball Clemens, the GM of the Argos? Who is more inspiring for you?
That is tough.
Right?
That is tough. I mean, I got to say Pinball because I've spoken to him. And, like, it's not just for a big game or at the Olympics. Like, you could be going to the buffet line, and that's how Pinball talks to you.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to have the greatest buffet in the history of my life. Whereas John, I don't know if he just turns it on and off. I've not really spoken to him many times. But he clearly has a knack for getting the most out of his groups in big moments. Now it helps when he has great teams like he did with the women and like he's trying to create with the men. But, I like the one part about Herdman and that whole attitude is that there's nothing in him that says we're happy to be here or we're going to try to keep it close. It's like everything is like we're going to go and we're going to go down swinging. Like we're going to take a run at it. They play a high press. They take their chances. They're exposing their own back end because they're not trying to play for a 0-0. Like, they're trying to play to win. And I think as an athlete, you want a coach that acts like he believes in you and doesn't create a game plan saying, okay, I'm going to try not to lose. I'm going to create a game plan that says, I want to win. And I think for Herdman, that served them well today. Even though, you know, the first half they could have had, and I was kind of holding my breath a few times, so I was, you know, counterattacked by Belgium because it was like 3-on-3 for the back end or 4-on-3s, and that's not supposed to happen in soccer very often, but it did a few times. But yeah, I mean, Herdman's pretty good. And I don't know what the protocol is. I don't know what you guys would do. I probably, if I was playing, I was kind of a silent anthem guy. But I like a guy, loud and proud, belt it out. We're here, and listen to us. And it seemed like there was a ton of fans representing Canada in the building, or in the stadium. So, I don't know, it's one of those weird afternoons. If it was a great game, they showed well, clearly weren't overmatched by any stretch, which almost makes it worse.
They
didn't get anything out of a game, but they should have. They were the better teams. Like, I've never even seen expected goals in soccer before, but 2.8 to 0.7, four times as many, a missed penalty, two other ones. The first one, I'm not so sure. The third one, I thought when he stepped on his foot, that should have been a penalty.
Absolutely. Wasn't offside.
It wasn't offside when they played back there. So I don't know if, you know, VAR manages soccer games the way NHL refs might manage a game. Like, I can't give a guy a third penalty in a row or a third penalty shot, but I thought at least the last one should have been a penalty. So I say all that, and I'm like, I'm kind of mixed. I was nervous, and I was watching the game, and I was, like, proud and into it. And I left, and I'm like, yeah, it feels like a total missed opportunity. Yes. More than it feels like validation that we somehow belong.
That's right. Because of who it was against, too. It's Belgium, and you expect them to regroup and then probably dominate and get moving. Yeah. You're like, man, you had them. You know, like, that's a big part of it, too, is Belgium's a really good team, and they probably didn't have their A game, and Canada dominated, yet Belgium walks out with 3 points. Canada-Croatia on Sunday right here on TSN and on CTV.
And that's the game. Now it becomes Canada-Croatia is the game.
You got to get a result. You have to.
And you probably have, you know, well, I mean, Croatia will play Belgium at the end, but, you got to get a point for sure. And, God, like, can we score a goal? You know, like, we had so many chances. We have world-class players up front. And I don't know who the regular penalty taker is. So that wasn't a great penalty by Davies. Not just because it was saved, but it was a little cautious, a little inside the post by about 10 feet. But, you know, I don't know, we got Jonathan David who's lighting up the French league. Like, there's guys that can score. Anyways, it was exhilarating and frustrating. If it was a real Sporting fan afternoon for me, because I don't usually get too into anything, but I was quite into
it. I'm with you, man. I loved it.
To the point where, like, when they got scored against Hayes, and then went to halftime, like, I was doing the game tonight in Columbus with Montreal. Like, I turned the TV off and, like, threw the remote against the pillows in the room. Like, God, what's that? You know, like, I was like a full end of moment, which is unlike me.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I that's the beauty of it. It's the national team. They're at the World Cup. It's amazing. With Mike Johnson. How about the Leafs sliding in a trade during the World Cup game where they just sneak in a Connor Timmins acquisition, who's a right shot defenseman out of Arizona. He was drafted by Colorado, had a great World Junior. This is going back, what, 4 years ago, I guess so? 4 or 5 years ago. And he's a Sault Ste. Marie alumni. Not that that matters. It's just pointing out.
But it factors in.
He happened to play for the Sioux. How much do you know of this guy, and what do you make of this move for the Leafs?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a Friday night transaction dump, I guess, during the Canada game. But he's got the good measurables, right? Like, he's big, rangy, skates well, like some of that stuff. He's had a ton of injuries, pretty serious ones. So it's kind of stunted his development the last few years. And if you can't, the other concern is, like, if you're not playing in Arizona, Hayes, how good can you be, respectfully?
Right.
Like, I mean, like, it's not like it's the 79 Habs there on the back end. So if they think you need time in the minors to get good enough to crack that, the C core tells you that his game is probably not all the way there yet. I guess the relationship to Sault Ste. Marie, I don't know if we can keep going back to it, but every time someone comes out of there, you're wondering, you know, where the relationship is that would have prompted that transaction. But they're in desperate need of defense. So that's obvious. They're taking a flyer on a guy who was a prominent part of the Kemper trade. You know, that was a big piece going back to Arizona when they traded Darcy Kemper to Colorado, where he eventually won the cup. So he has all those kind of tools. He just hasn't played and shown that he can do it at the NHL level. So that will be on the development team, and that will be on the group to get the most out of him. Feels like potential's there, but he's not hit it yet.
Johnny, I'm calling the Leafs and the Devils streak tonight. What do you think of that statement?
I like it because they have to end it. They don't win every game the rest of the year. But, the concern I have is what New Jersey has done every single game, unless they have an off game. But when they have an on game, they force the other team, specifically the defense, to make a whole bunch of good decisions and quick reads because they press you so quickly, not physically, but quickly. And so with this decor out there, like, are we trusting Matt Colwell and Jordy Benn and Gio playing 26 minutes? And that's the challenge. It feels like those guys will make some mistakes. So either goalie's going to have to play great or Jersey's going to have it off night. Because if Jersey plays the way they played, they'll have the run of play, like they did last week against Toronto, where they were the better team. They'll be the better team. It doesn't mean Toronto won't win, but I would not expect Toronto to carry the play in this game.
Yeah, that's kind of been the story of Jersey, right? Like, it hasn't been a fluky 13 games.
No,
like,
they've been playing very well.
They've been playing really well.
Hey, I had to do something on them today. So I looked, and whatever you think of this stat, they played 19 games this year. They've won the expected goal battle, for whatever it's worth, in 18 of the 19 games. So at 5-on-5 in 18 of the 19, they should have scored more goals than the opposition. So, like, they outplay you every single night. And I expect that to happen again tonight.
Okay, so, MJ, if O's wrong and the Leafs don't win tonight, if you're looking at the Devils' upcoming schedule, because I'm with you, they're at this point now, 13 straight wins, it's got to come to an end at some point. It's just the laws of physics, right? After this, they have Buffalo, unlikely to be a loss there. Washington, the Rangers, Preds, Chicago. What game do you look at and think that could be where the streak ends?
Washington.
Okay.
Wag is amazing. Not that Washington's any good, but Washington has had their number for a long time. I think Washington's one of the teams that beat them this year already. For whatever reason, it's been a bad matchup for Jersey. So if I had to guess, like obviously I'd think Jersey would win all those games, but they can't win them all. So I would say Washington, they kind of grind it up, they get the bodies back and somehow find a way to do it, if it's not Toronto tonight.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. I mean, Washington, though, is in a weird spot. Like, you look at Vanacek and what he's been doing for New Jersey. Samsonov, when he was healthy, was playing pretty well for the Leafs. And Kemper, they gave a big deal to. He's been okay. I don't think he's been great. And they
just okay.
Reimer in Detroit. And they don't look like a playoff team. Like, they look old and weathered and beaten up and injured. And I don't know. I mean, Pitt's taken off. St. Louis has taken off, like two other teams, kind of veteran cup-winning teams of the past.
Tom Wilson and Backstrom for a couple weeks and see if they can get a Cook and Hayes. That's all they got left.
Is that the only thing that they can hope for?
And everybody else. Like, they're missing a ton of guys up front. And I think the question coming into this year, guys, was Boston and Washington, right? Kind of similar teams and similar spots in their development and their age and everything else. And you're like, you know, will age catch up with either one of these teams? Boston, obviously not. Washington, it feels like it obviously has. Like, they're slower now. Like, the injuries are a part of getting older as well. They're not nearly what they once were. Obi's playing a ton of minutes and getting a lot of shots, and he's going to score 40-something goals, maybe 50. But, yeah, they're not nearly the same team. They're just older. They're just older, and they're a little slower. So, they will be those two teams. Clearly, Washington will be the one that is going to miss this year.
Yeah, it feels likely. I mean, that's the thing about the East. You know, like we talk about this, it seems like weekly. Like, if the Devils, we all concede they're going to get in now, it'd be a shock if they didn't. Islanders look like they're going to at least, you know, hang around. Like, something's got to give. Detroit is almost 20 games into their season, and they're winning. Like, they're picking up points. So, I mean, there's potential for some turnover. I feel like Detroit will likely come back to earth in the final 60-plus games, but they've been getting pretty good goaltending. Like, Husso's been good. And they added veteran players, right? Like, Steve Yzerman feels like he's still kind of lurking in the weeds, man. Like, no one is paying attention to the fact that Yzerman's in Detroit. And he's been there for years, and he bottomed out, and he's building back up. Like, at some point, I expect Detroit to be a powerhouse again, simply because I have that much respect for Steve Yzerman.
Well, I mean, his track record in Tampa would suggest that's good. That's warranted. I'm with you. I think it's Florida and Tampa and Toronto get there eventually in the Atlantic. The Metro does seem a bit more wide open. And Carolina is going to be fine. I think Jersey's going to make it. And then it does get quite interesting. The Islanders, the Rangers, the Penguins. One of those teams is not going to make it. I'm not even counting Washington in that mix. So I think you might see turnover more likely in the Metro than in the Atlantic. And I like the Red Wings, but I still not entirely sold on their defense. I just don't know if it holds up as well as when Tampa gets kind of rolling and Florida gets their act together. So, but Stevie Y, and he has money too, Hayes, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of the few guys with a decent team that's got a bit of money to spend. Although, he's got, like, can you imagine this? Well, it'd be like, I guess, Austin Matthews next year. Like, Dylan Larkin, who's, you know, Mr. Detroit, from Detroit, played at University of Michigan, captain of the Red Wings. He doesn't have a contract next year. He's a pending UFA. I think so is Tyler Bertuzzi. And they're playing at their last year. So that is something to watch. I can't imagine they get traded. But we've seen Steve Yzerman. You don't want to play poker with this guy, it seems. Right? Like,
no,
he's
kidding.
Not going to fold in a tough negotiation. And so I'm watching that one to see, like, you know, Barzell's contract. I think Bill Larkin would look at that and say, okay, yeah, that's something like that would make a lot of sense. You know, mm-hmm. 8.5, 9, 9, whatever it is, 9.25. And I don't know if Steve gets all the way there. So that is something to watch, because if that was in a market like Toronto and Matthews in the last year of his contract, it would be a major story on the daily basis.
I didn't realize how sneaky Detroit had been. Like, yeah, they had a 4-game losing streak recently, but they've been picking up some points. Only 3 mm-hmm. points back of the Leafs right now. MJ, Nathan Bastian, before the game tonight against the Leafs, said if there's any team in the league that I'd want to beat, it would probably be these guys. So, yeah, 14 cool. would be nice.
Why?
That was my question. I'm like, why would you put that out there?
Like, who's Nathan Bastian? Not respectfully. I know who he is, but like, what's his deal with Toronto? Is he from Toronto?
Exactly. No, he's from Kitchener.
He's from Kitchener,
you said,
Ontario.
Right? So
like, what do you care?
It's because, guys, they're in Jersey and they've won a bunch of games. And if Mitch Marner takes his dog for a walk, it's front page of hockey headlines. And that it's
a little jelly there.
It's a little jelly. Yeah, and it's just like they're sick. It's always been that way since Johnny played for the Leafs. When I played for the Leafs, everyone hates them because of that. It's like they're just, they get all the attention, warranted or not. It's all the attention.
I you're right, oh, but like, what does Bastion care if the Leafs get attention? You play in
Jersey. I never even heard of that guy, to be honest with you, so it's not that concerning. I understand wasn't he in the Seattle expansion draft or something?
Yeah, he got taken by Seattle, then Jersey claimed him back. He plays in the first unit power play, even though he's a fourth-line player, but I don't, you know, like, and it's fine, and maybe next game he's like, I hate playing Washington, no way I'd rather beat than those guys. I don't know, yeah, but
maybe that's
funny
his good
how,
luck charm.
Like, you know, and I played in Montreal, and I played in Arizona. Like, I played all kinds of different places. And then this idea that, like, I'd love to beat Toronto. Why? Because they get attention? Like, who cares? Like, you love to, like, it doesn't, like, it's completely unrelated to your existence. I don't get it. Does it bother you that, at least, I don't know, the whole thing is a little, I get why fans might say it, but for a player, it's amusing to me almost. And, like, if you think about living rent-free in someone's head before a game, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you care about us? Because we don't care a bit about you.
Like, it could be about the promotion you'll get if you keep pushing a record forward against the Leafs, right? Like, it will talked about
maybe
up here. Where if you win 14 straight in Arizona, they don't even know you're in town. You know, if you do it in Anaheim, no one's covering it. Where I guess there's an element of maybe specifically because they keep pushing forth all these wins that it's going to get more attention and more love. I don't know. I mean,
maybe
even that though,
themselves a little too much in New Jersey, right?
Even
now?
That though is like a self-esteem issue. Like, why? Like,
right.
How about 13
right.
wins? Everyone's paying attention. You know, everyone. We're talking about you,
Johnny. And before you go, though, you just got to answer me this question. You just mentioned the expected goals. You got to just give me like a very like 15-second rundown. Is that like more quality chances than the other? Like, you got to give me something on that. Explain it in 15 seconds.
In 15 seconds, you put the same exact league average goaltender in both nets, and that's the amount of goals that you should score based on chances, volume, quality, percentage of it going in. So if we got the same goalie and it's just a league average goalie, I take X amount of shots and X amount of chance, I would score 2.5 goals. So cumulatively on those shots, you would score 1.5. Chances that I'm going to win that game are very good if you flush out the goaltending. Is essentially it.
Yep. What? That's right. That's right. Well put. I couldn't have put it any better than that.
Thanks for that.
All right, Johnny. Enjoy it tonight. Enjoy Columbus. We'll do it again
happy
soon.
To
thank
help,
you.
Anytime.
Dude, that didn't do anything.
I don't know that O understands it anymore, but that's
well,
okay.
There's your breakdown on Friday. Get him to give you a full goal, expected goals
it's
above average.
At you now.
Absolutely. Mike Johnson joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. I will admit that this, I mean, I'm in a bad place right now, because if there's two teams that I have been harshest, I've been very harsh on in terms of their irrelevance, it's New Jersey, who have won 13 in a row, and Sacramento, who have won 7 in a row. And like
no
that could
way.
Yeah, the Kings are third in the West, dude.
They're rolling right now.
They've won 7 in a row. They're the most irrelevant team in sports, and now you have to talk about them because they're winning.
How about this? How about this? And Kara, don't help them. Give me 3 guys on their team.
Sabonis, that was a big part of the trade last year. You got De'Aaron Fox, and then it would be a struggle. It would be a struggle.
Dude, 7 in a row, and you can't name 3 guys.
It would
guys
be a struggle
team.
After that.
Because
like
no one cares about the Sacramento Kings.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
Honestly.
Shaq called them the Sacramento Queens.
That's
man.
Right.
Yep.
Listen, they have won 7 in a row.
Yep.
It's my worst nightmare. It's karma coming back to get me. Jersey and Sacramento are relevant.
No one cares about what people in New Jersey think.
Yeah.
And all we need now is Ottawa and Buffalo to have a resurgence, and you'll just be toilet.
My head will explode.
Yeah.
My head will explode. Yeah. And everyone on the PGA Tour to start wearing squares and winning majors. Sep, what is it? What's his name?
Sep Straka.
Sep Straka wins the Masters in his squares. And My head will explode. So there you go. Yeah, Nathan Bastian calling out. I don't know, the Leafs or the Leaf market. I'm not sure.
It's not calling out. Like, let's grow up here. It's not calling.
It's not calling out, but every kid
grew up watching the Leafs, and it means a little something different than if you beat the Leafs as opposed to the Sacramento Kings.
That's probably literally what it is.
Yeah,
I grew up in Kitchener. I love the Leafs, guys. And it'd be great to beat them. You know,
yeah,
because
like all my buddies are at home watching, and it just has got a little more juice to it.
Right.
I want to do some digging there. I feel like if there is something underlying, it could be interesting. If there is a reason behind this, maybe there's something went down between.
Maybe he played
Boston
in the Sioux,
and
he doesn't know why he's not playing for the Leafs. Like, maybe did he play in the Sioux, and maybe he's like, why is Kyle Dubas?
Maybe he's like, why the hell am I not a Leaf?
Yeah, why has Dubas not acquired me? You know, I played in the Sioux, and why am I down in Jersey? That's a reasonable question. How about Johnny referencing the expected goals for Canada against Belgium? And I'm just seeing this. Canada's 2.59 expected goals against Belgium is the highest expected goals total to be shut out this tournament. Like, the Canada dominated. They had 21 shots on goal, I believe.
Yeah,
21 shot attempts.
Both that, yeah, they
that's outrageous.
Them, sure.
They destroyed them, and somehow they lost. Sucks. But you're back at it on Sunday against Croatia. You play like that against Croatia, you'll get a result. You're going to win. You're going to score. It's going to happen. All right.
Easy. I got a full invite to my basement to watch the game.
Sunday? Are you on board? If you're on the bandwagon and it's go time. Oh, I can't. I got my daughter's birthday party on Sunday. Legitimately, I have her. It's her birthday today.
Yes.
Actually. Happy
birthday
to my
oldest. So that's a legit excuse. I mean, that's a tough one, though, on a Sunday. There's so many sports going on.
I swear to God, he would have been there.
No, I've got a birthday party.
If you got the invite, you would have found a way, though, do you think?
Not possible. No.
But I think on a sports day like that, it's a very personal thing how you're going to watch your games that day. I don't want to have to take into consideration someone else's feelings. Like, oh, I don't want to go and watch with you because you might not be interested in watching what I want to watch and the way I want to watch it. That's a very personal sports viewing day.
Listen to Grappa. Like, you can tell the Grappa doesn't have kids when he goes, just tell your wife that you got to watch it for work. Like, yeah, okay, I'll postpone the birthday party. Like, yeah. Grappa, you have no idea. You have no idea. The idea of me even bringing that up, that we have to postpone the party, is an impossibility.
I'm not really bringing up as a serious comment, but you could potentially work your way into it. You know, I've been waiting 36 years for Canada to be back in the World Cup. You're gonna have multiple birthdays after this.
Yeah, right.
I got all these tricks and secrets, but like the fake Santa letter on for the parade. But there was kids' parties back in the day when my kids were that age. You drop the kids off, and the party was an hour long. Mm-hmm. It was gift exchange and a piece of cake, and get out. Come back and get them. You didn't, as the adult, a parent, you didn't have to go in the house. You drop them off, and an hour later, come and get your kid. The party's over.
You're right. Here's the thing, dude. It's my kid. So that doesn't apply
here. So you write an email, a massive email to the parents saying, drop your kid off at my house, and I'm going to give you an hour break. Go have a pint at the pub down in Oshawa. Or go to Starbucks, but be back in an hour and 15 minutes and grab your kid. And guess what? I'll give the kid a better gift on the way out than you're giving me for my kid.
Okay, there you go.
There'll be alcohol for the parents in the loot bag if you come back on time.
Parenting 101.
To get your child.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a big match on Sunday, and then the finale is what, next Wednesday against Morocco? December 1st, I believe.
That one is a big game, and it's
a morning game. We got to connect for that one. Let's get together and let's watch that match. All right?
On when?
It's next week. I think it's the first. It's either the Wednesday or the Thursday.
Grappler should be on this. What's the schedule, Grappler?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right. Role play level of concern coming up. It's next Thursday. Okay, next Thursday. I think that's 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. kickoff. All right? Put it in your calendar. Let's get together. Let's watch some football. Let's see what happens. All right? We have our picks for American football. It's U.S. Thanksgiving tomorrow. Three-pack. Al's brother will join us later on. I have the first and third game. You guys have the middle game. That's Cowboys-Giants. That's a tough game. So we'll get to that more with Al's brother. Kara's in here. Role play level of concern still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. You understand?
Bourbon, one scotch. since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon whiskey, scotch and gin.
Role play level of concern. All right. We're all good over
How's
there,
What's going in there, man?
Well, it's a little bit of a crazy day around here. Let's put it that way. But anyway, it's all good, and we're professionals, and we're happy.
Technical issues, it's fine.
No, it's totally fine.
Oh, just Grappler and JP, try to find me a screenshot of Hayes looking back into the glass, because I know that is milliseconds from head explosion territory.
Yeah, there was. Admittedly, there was. Should we just admit what was going on? It's not actually
the end
of the world at all.
I could just jump in here. Essentially, this segment's been sponsored for several months. The sponsorship ran out as of the end of last week, and I failed to let Hayes know until 20 seconds into this
segment. That's all it was. So I was searching for it, and I'm like, I'm supposed to do a read here. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's all good.
You know what, though? That's a good quarterback right there. That's the anti-Zach Wilson taking that on himself.
Grappler knows what's up, and that's on me as much as it's on him. Right, and Zach Wilson's out. Can you believe that? They're benching.
That needed to happen.
As a loser.
He is, and he's not that good. Like, let's get cut to the chase.
Like,
he looks terrible. He's not a good player. But you invested a lot. He's a second overall pick. It's like it's Sam Darnold 2.0. You're right back to where you were.
I don't think
he's
out.
What that could do to your organization?
It could be.
But I mean, Sal is
Darnold into that guy.
Sal is in a tough spot, though, because you either ride with Zach Wilson, your defense hates you, and he's a defensive-minded coach. At some point, he wasn't going to let that stand for his defense, especially when Wilson comes out and says, no, that's not on me.
That didn't help.
Or you affect Zach Wilson's confidence by benching him. Like, he's not done with the Jets or anything, but this is going to be a big character test for him.
That's the thing.
Dan Orlovsky was on NFL Live, and he summed up beautifully.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It was so good.
The quarterback is supposed to put it all on him, and when they win, it's supposed to be about we. Mm-hmm. We were great. When they lose, I stunk. I could have done a better job. Even if it wasn't on you, because they get special treatment. They get they're treated differently, and it's like that is no way to conduct yourself, and everyone will hate your guts. Confirm or deny, go ahead.
Yeah, role play level of concern. We just went through it for if you're Zach Wilson. I think it's
bordering on Nick Cage. But you know what makes it worse? When Justin Fields comes out the next day and takes it on himself,
right?
Like you should. That makes Zach Wilson look even worse.
Also, the Jets are playing the Bears.
Yes.
Awful defense. He probably put up numbers. Anyway, moving on. Role play level of concern. Oh, you are playing the role of Austin Matthews. What is your level of concern that the ownership of the Rocket Trophy, you've owned this for years, is in jeopardy this season?
This is a special elixir and a very sophisticated one, okay? This is three beers and four shots of chilled Grey Goose because I might score 45. That's a casual afternoon after lunch.
That's mediocre concern.
And because I might be saying, maybe it's gone this year, but I don't care. You know why? Because I've got my focus in different things. I want to be a complete player, and I want to win. I'm done dummying the league and winning the Rocket Richard. Maybe I want to score 45 or 50, and the Maple Leafs advance in the playoffs. That's what I'm focused on. So I may have a shot of chilled Grey Goose and say au revoir for this year, but I'll be back in years to come, and I will do my damage come playoff time.
I like how you put a French tone on Rocket. Rocket Richard. The Rocket Richard trophy.
That was not by design, and that got away from me a little bit.
It's all good.
Thank you for noticing.
It's all good. All right, Kara, you are playing the role of Lionel Messi.
Okay.
Messi, what is your level of concern that this, your final World Cup, is going to be a disaster after you lost to Saudi Arabia?
I'm going to totally punt how to do this level of concern, but if I'm Lionel Messi, that's a glass of water for me. Wow. That's not concerned at all, right?
That's not even remotely
concerned.
That's
not
concerned.
Even allowed.
Okay.
You got to go a six-pack on a patio.
No, it's a pint on the patio.
It's a
pint. Water
is
fine.
A pint on the patio, maybe with a chaser. He's the best player in the world. He is motivated because this is his last shot at getting the World Cup trophy, the elusive World Cup trophy. We've seen so many teams get off to a bad start in this tournament so far, and you can blame it on where the tournament is in the schedule and the time differences and whatever you want. So many teams seem to be having a hard time getting their legs under them for the first match. Argentina's going to get better. He said it himself. We're not going to let the fans down. The team is going to rally around Messi. I don't know that they're going to win, but it's going to get a lot better. It's not going to be a tire fire for them.
Okay. All right. Listen, you lose to Saudi Arabia. That should be somewhat
concerning.
It's a
kick in the pants, but it'll be fine.
Okay. I am playing the role of the World Cup in general, FIFA. Who's the guy at the top? He keeps saying the dumbest things.
Is it Gianni?
Things. Gianni Infantino or something like that. A guy, he the dumbest
A PR nightmare.
Commentary, PR nightmare. I'm playing the role of him. What is my level of concern that a complete dark horse country is going to make the final? I'm actually going to take a page out of your book, Lionel Messi, because I think it's too early to get to that point. Yes, Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. Yes, Germany lost. There have been some surprising results, but Brazil still hasn't played yet. Mm-hmm. Portugal still hasn't played yet. England looked great. Spain looked great.
France was good.
France looked good. Exactly. Belgium did not look great, but they got a result. And I'm talking about international football and basically the powers of Europe or the powers of South America. Like
Hayes,
that.
You'll know the answer to this question, Hayes. And it's very simple. The World Series of Poker, who generally ends up at the final table?
Usually the best player. The best players get there every year, you know, generally speaking. And I think, listen, a dark horse is a good thing. I think you can sell a dark horse, and it's the World Cup. The ratings are there anyway. The buzz is there anyway. But the idea that we're 4 or 5 days into this tournament and it's a lock that a team that, quote-unquote, shouldn't be there is going to get there, I'm not at that stage yet. I think you got to get through the group stage before you can even contemplate that idea.
If you're Gianni, you're almost excited about what's going on right now, because wouldn't you rather have a bunch of upsets and unbelievable matches early on to get the interest
right
up, and then you know the big dogs are going to come out and fight.
They're going to get it together.
It's like, better than teams just rolling right from the beginning.
You get to the round of 16, there's going to be 8 to 10 monsters still around, and very likely two of them are standing at the end. Very likely. All right, you are playing the role of the Edmonton Oilers. Role play level of concern. You are playing the role of the Edmonton Oilers. As of today, you're on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. What is your level of concern that playoff spot you thought was a lock to start the year is actually not a sure thing?
I will tell you one thing, Mr. Hazy B. I was close to saying play it, but I'm not going to do it. But I am a solid 12-pack and 4 chasers, because year after year I am dealing with the same nonsense with this team. It got Dave Tippett fired, and it's the same thing all the time. We've got to defend, we've got to be grittier, we got to perform, we got to get things done. Like, I understand Evander Kane's a hell of a player and he's important, but you shouldn't be missing him that much when you have two of the best players in the world. But it comes back. And much like the Leafs, who I've seen a bit of a turn in the last 2 or 3 weeks where they're starting to play the right way, but it's almost like Edmonton, they're just going to go out there and do what they do and chew on that, because that's just the way it's going to be. Like, it's the old saying, it's like they're never going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I obviously think they're going to pull out of it, but we're back here again having this conversation. Can't defend, back end no good, won't commit to defense. How many times have we done that in the last 6 years?
Well,
that fan base must be immensely annoyed having that combo, because I am.
Shaky goaltending again, right? Like, that's
dude,
been
I thought my guy Jeff Skinner was going to be the guy, and he is proving to be a taller version of Jack Campbell in there right now.
Yes, it started very well for him, and Campbell's not even playing.
No.
Like, they're not even looking at him.
Well,
as
he got
a guy
hit in the face the other night off the bench, didn't he?
Yeah. That
did he get over that? Or is
literally adding injury to insult.
He probably wants to turn that into a concussion.
He's back, okay.
Yeah, he's playing. He's back. But he would prefer a long-term IR.
Yeah.
I think he might.
Broken orbital bone.
Yeah.
I'm gone for 4 months.
See you guys. Kara, you're playing the role of Scotty Barnes.
Okay.
Who we don't believe is playing tonight. We haven't seen anything official on that, but we don't think he's going. He's had injury issues. His numbers are a little bit down. What is your level of concern that the injuries and the inconsistent play is trending in a direction that will be labeled a sophomore slump season?
I'd say a 6-pack of beer. I'm not overly concerned about it. I mean, I've thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a heck of a game against Atlanta. What did he put, 28 points?
Huge numbers. Almost a triple-double.
You know, Sam made a lot of good points about the condition of the team and how they've gotten ready for the season with so many injuries. I think he's just had some bad injury luck. We're only a handful of games into the season right now. I think Scotty's still Scotty, and I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's the expectations were so high because of what he did
yes.
last year. You win Rookie of the Year. We were joking about this a few weeks ago. He's on every commercial. Everywhere. He's the poster boy
Dude,
in Toronto right
hey,
now.
Hey, now that you said that, I know of the place that I saw on the Queensway that should be endorsing him. It's called Scotty Bond Caribbean Grill. Scotty Bonds. Shouldn't Scotty Bonds hire Scotty Barnes
yeah,
to be their ambassador?
That would be good. But he's getting Subway money,
yeah.
man. You can't compete with Subway money. You know, he's not going to give up that for some place on the Queensway. But listen.
Bowlway.
He loves it. But you're right. In Atlanta, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
But it just seems to be he was injured coming into camp. He's been banged up at times. He finished his season a little bit banged up. The expectations are probably a little bit too high. To begin with, and as a result, maybe it's unfair to him
mm-hmm.
that it would be easier to label it a sophomore slump, but maybe it's not. It's just natural transition as a young player in the NBA, and he's not alone because of how many other guys are injured around him. He's not getting the same insulation he got last
That's
year.
That's the thing. You can't really put it too much on Scotty at
yeah.
this point. Once they all start to get healthy and we start to see them gel and roll a little bit more, he's already shown, like, I mean, yeah, he had a disappointing start to the season, but we've seen flashes of Scotty.
Yes, for sure. And Sam's right. I think anyone that follows the NBA has to be perplexed by the amount of injuries and the amount of times guys are just out for days and weeks and games. And it's a different sport, but they're all athletes. I look at the way Mark Giordano's approaching his day-to-day activity. Did you see Sheldon Keefe's comments yesterday where I guess they keep going to him saying, do you want a break? And he said, do not give me a break.
No, he wants more.
Because if this is what I do to play, I need to practice. I need to play. I need to stretch. I need to be in the gym. Like mentally, if you start taking time off, I think it can affect you physically. And I think
you know
that's
what?
What's
you
happening.
You got to weigh a bunch of different things. It's like it's great you want to be like that. You're competitive and you want to be a difference maker. You also have to factor in if you can do it. Can you put him out there and play those minutes for a short duration of time, whether it be 2 or 3 weeks? And that's what you got to figure out.
Yeah.
Because it's better than somebody saying, oh, man, I got to play more. Oh, no.
But that's it, like, exactly.
I would rather have what you.
I'd rather have that.
Minutes.
I'd rather have a guy that you can't get out of the gym, that you can't get off the ice or off the floor, and that wants to play and doesn't want to slow down. And I think he's afraid of slowing down. Because you slow down at 39, the wheels can fall
yes.
off. Like, that's the difference.
Is it is if you easier allow to pull someone back than push them forward.
Exactly. If you allow yourself to stop, then who knows if you get the, you know, the engines going again.
We all know. We're all getting older. We know it's a fine line between, you know, keeping the motor running and the motor just stopping on you.
Yeah, the motor can be parked. And when it gets parked, you're in big trouble.
Tough to get back up again.
I'm a perfect example of that. Like, I don't even look at a gym. I don't. Exercise. I got to start exercising. I have to start doing something.
Listen, I don't want to call you out. Clearly, I'm going
go
to.
Go ahead.
Clearly,
yes.
I'm going to, though.
In theory,
we
go
used
ahead.
To go to the gym together.
Yeah,
I have
know.
Never seen someone with a worse gym routine than
it's
you.
It's awful, isn't it?
You what you are it? Lap guy.
Checked,
I walked around.
It is literally lap
shoot,
guy. We would be like, okay.
Shoot hoops and then.
No, not even. It would be like, let's meet in cardio. We'll hit the treadmill. For a few minutes, and you do like a slow walk. He's got the slow burn with no incline. And then he's like, I'm going to go hit some weights. And he bails off the cardio as I'm just getting into like a stride.
Right.
And I'm watching him from the second floor down, and he's just doing laps.
I love a lot.
I don't actually see him walk up to any machine.
Douglas, and he goes and shoots hoops by himself.
Right.
But what I'm going to start doing, this is what you got to start doing here.
Grab a smoothie on the way out, too.
Yeah.
You
oh,
do
I love a smoothie.
You got to do
so
that.
So do you. What you got to do is, as soon as your kids are at school, it's wintertime, we're not golfing, put your snow pants back on because we know you got them,
mm-hmm.
and go for an hour stroll, man. I'm telling you, it sounds goofy and it sounds old. Get your running shoes on and your snow pants and go for an hour walk. And you'll get home, you'll be sweating, and you'll feel good about yourself.
All right.
I'm
walking
telling
is better cardio than just about anything else.
It is the oldest thing you can do.
Yeah, go
the
for
walk,
an hour walk.
Mm-hmm.
I think about
better
it every day. Me and my wife are up at 5:30 in the morning. She leaves for work at 6:30. As soon as she leaves, I'm like, I could go and get my walk done right now. And I'll be home at 7:30 a.m. and the whole day's in front of me.
Yep.
Guess what I don't do? I don't do it.
No, of course not.
It's hard when it's cold outside.
That's the problem.
I'm a big walker in the summer, but
yeah. Yeah, I do have I got a good routine at the gym. I got to bring that back. Scotty Barnes out tonight. Scotty is out tonight. Josh Cloak will join us from The Athletic. He's in Qatar on Canada losing 1-0 to Belgium, but a lot of positives came out of the game. They really dominated performance. They had a great, great game, and they go against Croatia on Sunday. So we'll start looking ahead to that with Josh. Al's brother coming up with our picks for the NFL tomorrow. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs Kings, December 8th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, the third of the week. His former Maple Leaf played for just one other Canadian team, the Calgary Flames. The Calgary Flames. Dion Phaneuf. Although he was in Ottawa, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Immediately, I got that wrong.
And to my buddy that sent me yesterday, it's Harold Drukin. Stop. Please stop it. I think one of the clues was he had 1,000 points. It's not Harold Drukin.
Right. Wasn't Harold Drukin the first guy from Newfoundland to play for the Leafs?
No, I don't think so. He was from Newfoundland, and he did play for the Leafs.
Yeah.
And I played with him in Carolina, but I don't think he was the first. Dude, okay. Think about that.
Only
the Maple Leafs have been around
Canadian
since 1900, and he was the first Newfie? Come on.
I think that may be accurate.
No, it isn't. Ask Lance Hornby. He'll tell you.
Would Lance Hornby be the
guy?
You
only played for
two
Canadian teams?
Dude, he's a historian.
Is that the clue?
Yeah, that's the clue. Yeah, the other one is Calgary.
Dougie?
No, he played for the Habs. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We do this every single time. We never know the answer, and then on Friday we're like, oh, of course. I mean, we can just wait until Friday, and we can't win the tickets anyway. So it really doesn't matter. All right, Leafs-Devils tonight. Raptors at home against the Nets. Not only is Scotty Barnes out, Fred VanVleet's out tonight. He's sick. Again, he's been sick multiple times recently.
Illness is ripping through.
Yeah, last couple of weeks they've really been dealing with a lot. So Fred is out tonight. They only have 10 players available. So we'll get into that more into the next hour, and we'll head to Qatar and get more of a breakdown on the first match, Canada losing 1-0 to Belgium. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.